Views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station, its management, or other advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.
Your journey on the path of freedom starts here. A Life Untethered with Andrew Martin. Walking the Path of Freedom is a celebration of those brave spirits who have faced their fears and reclaimed their power. Andrew is dedicated to challenging the old paradigms and setting you on your path to living a life free from limitation. You're about to begin the journey of becoming your higher self in a life untethered. And now, here is your host, Andrew Martin.
Hello, everybody. Happy Thursday. How are you? I am coming to you live from Moonlab Studios here in Greenpoint, Brooklyn. Welcome to A Life Untethered with Andrew Martin. And that's me, Andrew Martin. I'm your host for today's show, which I'm really, really excited about. I think this is a really powerful topic that we're going to be discussing today. The title of today's show is Releasing the Spiritual Myths Which Bind Us. And I think that that is a great place for us to begin the second episode because, you know, I find that so often on our spiritual journey, things sometimes can be confusing, right? It's this journey that is this internal place. It's supposed to really be about the internal connection. And so often we have so many voices outside of us saying, this is right, this is wrong, this is the way to do it, these are the things you should avoid, these are the things you shouldn't do. And sometimes it can be just a little bit overwhelming and a little bit maddening. So we're going to be discussing that today, and I'm really, really excited. But before we jump in, I just want to let you guys know about an event that I have going on this month. It's an ongoing series of calls called the Soul Expansion Series. And it is something that I do every Sunday for 2 hours. And it's an amazing opportunity to come together in community to do question and answer, to receive intuitive insight and guidance. And then we finish out the call with an amazing energy work session. So go to my website, thelightedones.com, click on the events tab, and you will see all the information to read about that and to sign up. And I just wanted to take a second to let you guys know about it because it is something that is one of my favorite things to do. I do a lot of things on my path of service, and that has quickly become one of my favorite things to do. So please check it out, and if you're interested, register. But let's jump into this. Today, my guest for Releasing the Spiritual Myths Which Bind Us is an amazing woman, Christine Upchurch. She is a writer, she's a teacher, she's an inspirational speaker. She has her own radio show called The Christine Upchurch Show. She's a creator of The Vibration of Change. But most of all, I think most relevant for today's discussion is she is a spiritual myth buster. I am really, really excited to have her on my show. So please welcome her. Hello, Christine.
Hi, Andrew. So nice to be here. And I'm so glad that you've got your own show because you and I have known each other for a while. You've been on my show before. And I think that between your message, your energy, and how you can articulate things in a way that can help people to like really understand and ground, you know, the spiritual perspective, that you are on the right path. So glad to be here with you.
Thank you. Thank you. And I am so excited we get to do this. I remember being on your show. Gosh, it was like a year ago. I mean, I can't believe it's been that long.
Yes, yes. BB, before Brooklyn.
Right, exactly, exactly. That's sort of like the divider for this chapter of my life, pre-Brooklyn and post-Brooklyn. So, I'm thrilled to have you here. And thank you for the kind words. And, you know, I think this topic is such a powerful one. You know, this idea of these spiritual myths and, you know, like I sort of begin to touch on and dig into it in the opening, you know, it's so often I think we find ourselves sort of bound by the ideas or these external ideas. So, you know, I just want to jump right into this. Let's open this topic up. And, you know, what are, you know, being a spiritual myth buster as you are, and I think that we sort of have a connection there as kindred spirits on this mission to sort of bust these myths. What are some of the current popular beliefs, you know, regarding spirituality or ones that are in the spiritual community that you claim are actually myths?
Okay. Well, first of all, let me say that I think that we go through this sort of expansion and contraction with our spiritual development. And about 20, 30 years ago, we started releasing some of the myths. And I think what happened for a lot of people is they released the dogma of their childhood upbringing, their religious upbringing. And for some people, they sort of expanded their notion of spirituality within religion. But for many people, we sort of jumped out of the box, that religion box. And so And then we've been on this conscious movement, and I think we've gone along thinking, well, we've got it, right? We've got it. We, you know, there aren't any myths anymore because we've released that dogma. But indeed, we've created this new kind of dogma, and we think of these things as spiritual truths, but it's really a new set of rules. And these sets of rules, I mean, it varies. I think the number one is that spirituality is something we should seek. There's another one that our emotions and our physical body are not spiritual. Spirituality is best experienced in retreat or isolation, like separating it from our everyday life. Spiritual lessons must be painful or difficult. It's important for us to be experienced oneness in order to be spiritual. Money isn't spiritual. That's another big one. And that, like, one size fits all. There are lots of these myths that we have kind of created, and it's hidden dogma that I think is restricting our expansion. And in order for us to expand again, as we did, you know, a quarter century ago, we need to identify and release these myths.
Mm. And there's so much juicy goodness in this topic, and I can't wait to dive into all of it today with you. And so it kind of sounds to me like what you're saying, and I think that, you know, this has been sort of my experience, is that I think we often take sort of that cookie cutter idea of right and wrong, sinner and saint, good and evil, for mm-hmm. that we oftentimes inherit from a religious perspective. And then right. We just sort of place our spiritual experience within that. Is that kind of what you're saying?
That's part of it. And part of it has to do with, it's really about judgment. And it's not necessarily always black and white, good versus bad, but there are kind of like, there's this gray area. Like, for instance, if I'm feeling angry or resentful, is that somehow bad? Well, okay, in certain situations, it's okay, but in other situations, it's not, you know, kind of like, okay, I'm in this gray area. I'm feeling something that when, like, somebody has harmed an animal or dropped a bomb, for me to be angry about that, that's okay. But for somebody to you know, behave a little nasty towards me, you know, in a store, you know, in line, that it's not okay for me to be angry because I'm not being loving enough. So, it's not always the black and white, but it does involve the judgment, either the self-judgment or the judgment of others.
Right. So somehow it almost seems like sort of an underlying idea is that I'm supposed to sort of avoid my humanness or transcend this, you know, very real experience of having emotions or having feelings or, you know, like you said, having a body.
Right.
And it's as if we're supposed to reach this lofty place where we're no longer in this human experience almost.
Yes. And if you think in terms of energy, you know, I've been working in energy healing for 15 years now, and there's the high frequency vibration of energy, the light, the healing energy, the energy of connection, that intuitive flow. That's the high frequency vibration. But we have the lower frequency vibration here on Earth of the material world, of the emotions, of, you know, the sensations within our bodies. And I think that we've kind of dichotomized, like, the godliness of certain vibrations and the hedonness of the other vibrations. And really, if you think of our world and this earth as this huge creative project of the expansion of God, you know, universal wisdom, whatever you want to call it, then it's all spiritual.
Right.
And so we are actually not navigating as sort of like, okay, we're spiritual in this way and we're not spiritual in that way. It's all this big part of the energy of spirit in this particular form, in this particular arena. And in that sense, it's all sacred.
Right. Beautiful. So really, you can't not be spiritual.
That's right. That's right.
You can't. And I find, you know, we're often trying to abstract ourselves. And I think that's really sort of the religious idea, is that somehow it's up there, right? The reward,
yes,
or the connection, yes, or the heaven is after you die, after you atone, and it's always out there.
Right. And I think that, you know, within the consciousness movement, there is the same kind of judgment. But oftentimes it's not just like heaven versus hell kind of judgment, but rather, oh, you're not spiritual enough because you haven't experienced oneness, or you are getting angry in a situation, or you're speaking your mind in a forceful way. Therefore, you're not as spiritual as I am, or you're not as spiritual as that leader is. It's kind of like, not high enough, not the high enough of the frequency, you know, not good enough in a sense.
Right.
So there's that judgment, but again, it's more of a continuum instead of a dichotomy of, good, bad.
Right. Yeah. And someday, it's like we hold ourselves hostage and each other hostage by saying there is this level where you are or are not spiritual. And it's like we really remove ourselves from it. And you know what? And some days you're the pigeon and some days you're the statue. Right. Some days you're the teacher and some days you're the student. Some days you're having
Absolutely.
A really deep, dense, emotional human experience. And the next day you're flying high and you're feeling like, you're up in the heavens. So, but all of it is within spirit.
Absolutely.
Right. You can't not be spiritual.
Right. And I think that if we shift our focus about what is spiritual and what's not, and start to view it as all spiritual, then what we do is we're kind of engaging this duality within us, which can be very healthy. That is, we are the human experiencing these things, including the spirituality, but we also become the observer of, if this is all spiritual, then what's going on here and what am I to learn? What am I to contribute? And it all serves a purpose on our paths and the spiritual paths of Earth.
That's beautiful. Beautiful. I love that. So when we come back, we're going to continue this amazing conversation. We're going to talk about cultural perspectives and really where spirituality and religion oftentimes intersect and what that means for us now at this time on the planet with this amazing transformation occurring. Go to transformationtalkradio.com. If you have a question for us, you can call the 1-800 number or look on the screen there. You'll see a little box where you can enter your question for myself or Christine. We'll be back in just a minute or two with Christine Upchurch. See you soon.
This episode is brought to you in part by Moon Recording. Moon Recording is our proud home here at A Life Untethered and is located in Greenpoint, Brooklyn. If you have any recording needs, you should definitely check them out. They offer affordable recording services to musicians and podcasters, and their friendly staff specializes in recording everything from full bands to vocals in their vocal production suite. For 1 hour free, visit moon.nyc and enter code UNTETHERED when booking your first session.
Are you traveling most of your day? Do you want to take Transformation Talk Radio with you anywhere you go? Well, guess what? There's an app for that. Just go to the App Store on your Apple device or the Google Play Store on your Android and search Transformation Talk Radio. Catch all of our live shows no matter where you are. Thanks for listening.
When your body is awakened, your spirit comes alive. Dana Canetto is a transformational guide, embodiment coach, and spiritual mentor assisting women in realigning with their truth and embodying who they are by connecting to the wisdom of their body. Tune in every month on Transformation Talk Radio and the Dr. Pat Show Network for Body Divinity Radio with Dana Canetto. For more information on Dana and her services, visit danacanetto.com. That's danacanetto.com.
Tune in to Mainstream Metaphysics Radio to harness your connection with the universe to effect change for optimal success and happiness. Named one of the country's top psychics, Eve now brings her insights and gifts to this weekly hit call-in show, joined by visionaries, leaders, and gifted others, but mostly you. Jot it down, Thursdays, 10 a.m. Pacific, 1 p.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
Powerful insight and practical tools to support you on your spiritual journey. Access your higher self and tune in every second and fourth Thursday at 12 p.m. Pacific to A Life Untethered with Andrew Martin, walking the path of freedom. Andrew is a highly attuned intuitive oracle, energy worker, spiritual teacher, and international radio host. For more about Andrew and his services, visit thelightedones.com.
Do you feel that there's a bigger, better life for you? Is there anything holding you back from living the life you were meant to live? If you'd like to find your life's true purpose and calling, join the world's foremost authority on primal spirituality, David Karsher, in Becoming a Son Radio, emotional and spiritual intelligence for a happy, fulfilling life. Tune in once a month to Becoming a Son Radio with David Karsher on the Dr. Pat Show and Transformation Talk Radio. For more information, visit davidkarsher.com today.
Hello and welcome back. You are listening to A Life Untethered with Andrew Martin. And my guest today is Miss Christine Upchurch. We are talking today about spiritual myths, releasing these spiritual myths which bind us. This is an amazing conversation and such a fascinating topic to me. And in the first segment, we were talking just kind of about this idea of, you know, sort of a spiritual experience and what is that and, you know, how do we sort of navigate our way through that. What I want to talk about now, Christine, is, you know, this idea of the cultural perspective, right? Like, I think this idea of, you know, this religious training, and I don't want to bash religion. I don't think that that's the point of today, but I think a lot of times religion comes with this indoctrination, and it creates this idea in our minds that, you know, the holy man or the church or the organized religion is the only way for us to connect with the higher power. And I think that we're kind of waking up to that, that's not true.
Well, we are, and, you know, if we look back, you know, hundreds, thousands of years ago, we can see that some of the spiritual myths, you know, were absurd, like, you know, it's important to sacrifice a human or an animal to get God's good graces, that kind of thing. And then along the way, it turned into things like, well, you need an intermediary to talk to God, or, you know, there historically we've shifted our perspective. And I really do believe that we have shifted out of some of the perspective of the religious dogma. That doesn't necessarily mean that there's nothing good within religion, but we have created a new kind of dogma. And some of it is kind of based on this religious, you know, kind of dogma, but other aspects of it are not. And in fact, there are some ways in which I think that the current consciousness movement can have like more judgment about certain things, and even those who are in religion, like the good emotions versus bad emotions, you know, like there are so many people within the consciousness movement that are sort of snobbish about, you know, only having the positive emotions. And it's kind of interesting to see the repression, the denial of part of themselves, the denial of, you know, the guidance that they could get from those emotions. And it's almost like, you know, we've closed down in a sense.
Yeah.
And so it's important for us to explore, like, you know, what are some of these notions that we think of as truth within the consciousness movement itself that will help us to kind of perceive spirituality in a new way when we step away from them. Because really, you know, we're tribal in nature. We, our first tribe, of course, is our family. And, you know, whether or not it's a happy tribe, then eventually we join the tribe of our peers and then of our colleagues and that sort of thing. And ultimately, I think many of us find our way to spiritual tribes. And so in order for us to actually excel and expand the evolution of the tribe, we need to question the assumptions of the tribe, the question, the belief system of the tribe. And so, you know, within the tribe, this consciousness movement tribe, there are several beliefs that really aren't necessarily even, you know, offshoots from religion that are causing us stagnation, keeping us from evolving more. And, you know, one of the classic ones, I think, is that spirituality is something we should seek. That's like number one myth. I'm working on a book about these spiritual myths right now, and that is the number one myth that I list. And it's something that, of course, you know, you Google spirituality and seek, and you get thousands and thousands of hits of you know, not just in religion, but in the consciousness movement, of blogs and books and websites. And really, we need to say, okay, well, why is it we should be seeking our spirituality? First of all, is there something missing? Is it somehow hidden? I mean, in our culture, you know, the first, our first notion of the word seek is in hide and seek, right?
Yeah.
And so as kids, it's like people hide and then we have to go find them, you know? And sometimes they're hard to find. So is there something missing? Or is it something as real as our five senses? Like, do you say, well, I'm not sure about taste here. You know, am I tasting things correctly? Do I really taste this chocolate cake? Am I doing it right? You know, do I need to really meditate first before? Yeah, I mean, yes, there are ways of consciously eating chocolate cake and doing it in a less conscious way, but we don't question whether we've got taste buds to experience it. So I think that we need to, first of all, think that it's something that's natural. And secondly, not be seeking so much outside of ourselves, which is the other thing that has happened. It's kind of like, I'm not worthy of myself to have this experience. I need to seek externally.
Right.
And, you know, I mean, I know that one of the famous sayings from the Bible in a couple of different places, I think it's Matthew and Luke, is like, Jesus said, seek and ye shall find. And that is often related to not only religion, but our, you know, our spiritual quest for our wholeness here on earth. And so, you know, at one point, Andrew, I got this intuitive hit that I needed to look up about the translation, that there was something off about the translation. And I ended up finding that when this was translated, when the Bible was translated into English, there's a nuance about the tense associated with it. So it wasn't like seek, like go get it, like, you know, like you're a hunter on a mission going to get a buffalo, but more like this continual seeking, which in my perspective is more like the gatherer who's walking through the forest and across the plains and looking and noticing, oh, there's some red ripe berries, or that tree is heavily laden with fruit, or there's some tender young greens over there. It's kind of like if we seek by just sort of having this general awareness and a sense of wonder and just kind of expecting that we will have the sustenance of our spirituality, then seek makes sense. But most of us think in terms of, you know, it's that buffalo to go get. It's that,
right,
that thing outside of ourselves to find, to fill that void within, as opposed to just sort of, you know, gathering the beautiful sustenance that spirit naturally brings us on our path, you know, in life.
Right. So it's more, rather than seek and ye shall find, it's more like be present and ye shall find, right? Like,
yes,
be in the experience,
yes,
where you are now, and you will always find the truth here now.
Yeah. And be present with a sense of wonder. In that sense, it's kind of like, it's sort of the sense of seeking repeatedly, like continuously or continually, not like it's something I need to find, but rather, oh, what, you know, what is here? Kind,
yeah,
of like the tasting of that cake. Oh, what is on my tongue? Oh, the texture, the taste, the smoothness of it, the sweetness of it. It's really about, yes, being present, but with a sense of wonder.
Right. Right. I love that. And I call that like being neutrally curious about just,
yes,
the present moment. Because to me, that when I think of, okay, spirit always seeks expansion through experience. That's why we're here, is just an experience of all that is in a way that it's never been done before. And so it chooses, you know, you. It chooses through you, through the experience of Christine and the story of Christine.
Right.
And it is just curious, what is it like to be Christine Upchurch? I've never done that before.
Right, right.
And it's,
yeah,
not about the beginning, middle, and end. It's just the arc of the entirety of her journey.
Right. And what's interesting about this is that I believe we've got parallel realities, right?
Mm-hmm.
So there are, I've actually experienced one of my own parallel lives as Christine Upchurch, where I no longer moved. I mean, I had not moved out of Nebraska when I was 15 to Massachusetts, but rather was still in Nebraska. And I've actually gained some important insight from that life. So if there are all these different parallel realities, then yes, it's kind of like this curiousness. Okay, if I make this decision or I shift my perception about this, how will it change? How will my life change? How will the expansion of, you know, the universe shift from this particular experience?
Right. Right. And just being curious about that rather than saying this is good or bad, right or wrong, I'm a failure or I'm a success. It's just, what is it like if I do this? And what is it like to be in that experience right here, right now?
Yes. And, but I think it's not just about us staying in the observer role, because I think, again, what happens to a lot of people who are on their spiritual journey is they think, I shouldn't have this, you know, this physical experience or this certain aspects of our emotion, my emotional experience, and therefore I will just continually stay in the observer mode. But I really think that we have to balance it out, because we incarnated into human form to have the fullness of the experience.
Yes, bingo. I mean, that's you, we, me, everyone listening chose to be a human because that was what was next. And so you're here to have the fullness of the human experience. So why do we hold ourselves hostage from saying like, ooh, I shouldn't feel that, that's bad, or ooh, that's, you know, that's low vibration, or ooh, that's high vibration. It's it's just vibration. And it's you as a human, you know, doing the best that you can in the moment. And sometimes that's a great day. And sometimes that's, I want to hide under the covers and eat ice cream and watch Netflix day. I mean, all within the realm of our experience.
Yes. And we have to ask ourselves, are we loving ourselves through every aspect of it? You know, like, do we have compassion for the self who wants to eat ice cream and then climb under the covers, or do both at once?
Yeah, totally. Nurture yourself through that while you're crying and eating ice cream or whatever it is.
Oh, yeah, exactly.
It's so funny. I love that. You know, as people often ask me, Andrew, am I on my path? And I say, hey, you know what? If you're alive, you're on your path. So let's stop looking for the path and just be alive. Awesome. So in our next segment, and I think that's a perfect segue, because in the next segment, we're going to look at this topic, this idea of spiritual myths, through the human individual perspective, right? What does it mean for me as Andrew and you as Christine and the listeners who may be, you know, listening to this episode? Again, go to transformationtalkradio.com, ask us a question if you have one for Christine or myself, and we'll be right back.
Tune in to The Jen Royster Show, intuitive guidance to inspire your life, each Thursday at 8 a.m. Pacific and 11 a.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com. This amazing show is an inspirational hour that will take you on an epic metaphysical journey to discover the spiritual approach to life's greatest challenges. Dr. Jen is an internationally known intuitive counselor, spiritual teacher, and energy healer. Call in for intuitive readings and visit JenRoyster.com for more information.
Powerful insight and practical tools to support you on your spiritual journey. Access your higher self and tune in every second and fourth Thursday at 12 p.m. Pacific to A Life Untethered with Andrew Martin, walking the path of freedom. Andrew is a highly attuned intuitive oracle, energy worker, spiritual teacher, and international radio host. For more about Andrew and his services, visit thelightedones.com.
What is a brilliant culture, and how do we create them? Why are they important? Claudette Rowley has created a breakthrough 5-step process to help you align your culture with your business strategy for exceptional results. Looking for a culture that drives organizational excellence? Listen to Cultural Brilliance Radio, the second and fourth Friday of each month at 10 a.m. Pacific and 1 p.m. Eastern on Transformation Talk Radio. To learn more or work with Claudette, visit culturalbrilliance.com.
Tune in to The Truth Is Funny with Colette Stephan each Wednesday at 8 a.m. Pacific, 11 a.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com. This hit show will have you thinking outside the box and riding the wave of infinite potential. Join Colette on the Higher Self Network, inspiring listeners to shine their brilliance and ensure success while roaring with laughter as they recognize the humor of the giant cosmic joke. Visit TheTruthIsFunny.com.
TheAngelLady.net. 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 1-800-323-1790. 1-800-323-1790. Sue Storm. Sue Storm. TheAngelLady.net.
TheAngelLady.net.
Be you.
plus live your purpose equals joy. That's the motto of Unstuck Joy with Vicki Todd. Vicki believes you were born with gifts that are meant to make the world brighter. Each show will feature an art visioning journal prompt to help you create your way to soul clarity. If you're ready to get unstuck and create more joy, this show is for you. Tune in every month on Transformation Talk Radio. For more information, visit VickiWorldArt.com.
Welcome back, everybody. You are listening to A Life Untethered with Andrew Martin and my amazing, fabulous, wonderful guest, Christine Upchurch. Today, we are talking about releasing the spiritual myths which bind us. And, you know, how could it be more perfect that we got a question from Wendy in Portland? And she is asking, this is what she, the question she has for you, Christine, is she was listening to a video that I did this morning on my YouTube channel, and she made a list of all of her past beliefs around money. And she came up with
that's a big one.
Yeah, huge one. I think money is so huge for so many of us. And she came up with a short list of 13 reasons why she believes that money was bad and not meant for her. And she thought she had transcended this. She thought that, you know, she was moving in the right direction. She's cruising along, but it still seems to plague her. And so she's asking, how can she relearn, get over these biblical trainings or this old limited perspective around money?
Yeah. Well, I think that this is a big one in my upcoming book. And it's myth number 8, that money isn't spiritual. And it's one that plagues so many people, especially people who are consciously evolving on their spiritual paths. And which I find kind of amusing in some sense, not sort of twisted kind of way, you know, from the observer perspective, like once upon a time, yes, in the Bible, there was the phrase, and what often gets misquoted as money is the root of all evil, but it was actually the love of money is the root of all evil. Mm. However, when you evaluate that word love, that's not really what it is. It's the attachment to money that is the root of all evil. However, I think that when you view what money is an energetic exchange that relates to like somebody else's sharing their gift. It relates to the earth sharing its gift of natural resources or of, you know, plants that have been grown. I mean, you go to the grocery store, you give money that you have earned through either your time, your service, sharing your gift in one way or another, and you're giving it to the grocery store and they are giving it to, you know, the people who work there and the people who trucks the food there and the people who grew the food. So it's actually this flow of energy. And if you think in terms of, you know, this energy, it's representing people's time that they spend. It's representing the gifts that come through them. Maybe like for you, Andrew, it's when you're doing a session and you've got the intuitive information coming through. For others, it might be a skilled physician who's doing surgery, you know, that they have spent a long time training, they've spent their time, they've spent their energy, they've spent their focus, and they have this gift for being able to save people in certain, you know, traumatic situations. It may be, you know, somebody who's picks the fruit, you know, that's getting paid, you know, it's this energy, and that energy is actually quite beautiful. It's the energy of the earth. It's the energy of the humans. It's the energy of the divine. So why wouldn't we love that?
Mm. Yeah. And it is something that we often, you know, we sort of abstract this idea of money out of this idea of abundance or the flow. And again, it's just, you know, it is all the eternal, infinite flow. And when we're sort of tapped in, it's kind of like, money, you know, I early on in my career, I had a mentor tell me, we were trading readings one day, and he said, look, Andrew, he said, the money, the success, all of that stuff is only going to show up when it's not important. Mm-hmm. And I was like, well, what the
Absolutely.
Heck does that, what does
yeah.
that mean? But yeah. what I understand now is that it's just what that saying is, when the focus and the point of it is, I'm only doing this for money, you're cutting it off. Mm-hmm. But when
right.
you say,
or,
I'm doing this.
Or you have the attachment.
Right.
Yeah. I'm sorry, didn't mean to interrupt.
No. I know we're both very excited about this question.
and it's that attachment, and the attachment comes in two forms. Either I want, or I'm not worthy. That it's the attachment, like I have to have it, or I'm not worthy of it, which is actually like kind of the repulsion, but it's a version of attachment. And so if we actually send our love to the money, like I love and appreciate, you know, the fact that I'm using my phone and my phone company is providing me with this service and it's just amazing. You know, there are these cell towers and, you know, it's this amazing thing. And there are people who are driving their trucks around making sure that the cell towers are working. It's this beautiful energy and I pay my bill. I'm giving them the money and I feel really good about that because I love every aspect of this flow. So if you can sort of get to this perspective of it's flow and we're honoring and respecting that flow and feel really good about the outward direction of the flow, then it's we need to, and we're still having issues that we need to look at our worthiness issues, that somehow we are not worthy of having that flow come through.
Right. And this, you know, I was talking about in the video, I think that Wendy was referencing this morning, I was talking about this idea of loving the desire for something as much as you love the thing itself. Because the desire for money is also a vibration. So if every time I think about money, I'm angry or I'm afraid or I'm feeling guilty, then that's the message I'm sending, that money equals anger, fear, or guilt. So when the desire for money comes in, I can say, oh, you know what? That's just the first little beep, you know, the blip of that it's coming, right? That's the first, the desire for it is what creates it.
Right.
So when I love that desire, I open up to it.
Yes. I think that's a great point, Andrew. And I think also we need to step back and stop focusing on the money. You were talking about abundance before. It's, what is it we want? Do we want freedom associated with money? Do we want ease? Do we want to be able to travel? Do we want to like live in a safe place and feel like, you know, we don't have any risk of losing it? You know, if we're really just sort of focused on what it is we want to create from that abundance, then if we have issues with money and we don't focus on the money so much, then it helps us kind of detach from our negativity, the negative aspects of our relationship with money, but rather we shift our focus to our relationship with abundance.
Yeah, bingo. And I think you hit on something very important, is that it's not the money that you want. It's the things, it's the feelings that you think will come when you have it.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
I want freedom. I want ease. I want joy. I want satisfaction. I want just to relax and, you know, feel like, oh, finally all my bills are paid or whatever. So the relief.
Right.
So yeah, finding a way to dig deeper and say, okay, I can call it money, but really what is money? It's part of abundance. And what is abundance is just that eternal flow. So why do I want to be tapped into it? Because it feels good.
Yeah.
Right? Because it's fun to be in the flow.
It is fun to be in the flow. And I also think that we get stuck in the formula that we think is going to create what it is we want. Like, for instance, I had a client who, you know, was about to make a life change where he was going to have much less money coming in, right? And he said, but I really want to be able to travel the world. And so I started asking him about it. And as it turns out, he's got friends and acquaintances all over the world in some of the key places that he likes to travel. So I'm saying to him, well, isn't it kind of strange that you're worried about not having enough money to stay at these 4-star, 5-star hotels, but you have these people you could stay with, you could connect with them in deeper ways. So, you know, they probably open their doors to you. And so all you'd have to pay for would be the flights and some of the food and, you know, the expenses in the other countries. And it was like this light bulb was going off his head. So he was thinking, I can't make this life change in my career because I'm not going to be able to afford travel as I have done it before. But then he really focused on what it was he wanted. It was just the travel and not the how to get to that. He understood he could have that abundance of travel with a lot less money.
Yeah, and I think that's such a beautiful example, because when we ask for abundance or insight or guidance or whatever it is that we're asking for, we don't always get to decide how it shows up.
Yes.
And oftentimes our attachment to saying, no, it will only be successful if it looks like this and I have enough money to do this and, you know, it's A, B, and C. We really shut ourselves off from the universe of saying, no, really, look, over here, there's something else. And it's literally, if it was a snake, it would have bit you. But when we're so focused on how it has to look, we cut ourselves off from the opportunity.
Yes, absolutely. And I think that, again, one of the things you said before that is so important is, we really need to focus on the feelings. It's kind of like whether we're trying to manifest abundance within the context of things that, you know, relate to finances, or abundance in relationships, like having the love life we want. If we can focus on the feelings we want to experience as opposed to what it's going to look like, then the universe has the ability to surprise us and provide us with exactly what we want when we couldn't even imagine it, you know, to begin with.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, allow yourself to be surprised, allow yourself to be amazed,
yeah,
you know, and that's, I think, the beauty of surrendering and saying, okay, this is what I'm looking for. This is what I'm focusing on. This is, I'm going to start cultivating these feelings now, and I'm allowing myself to be surprised by how it shows up.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Amazing. Yeah. Amazing. Thank you so much, Wendy, for your question. We hope that that helped. So in the next segment, we are going to talk about some practical approaches. Like, what can we really do? How can we assess these beliefs? And how can we sort of open these things up and start helping, using them to make change in our own life? So go to, again, transformationtalkradio.com if you have a question for Christine. You can use the email window there to email in your question. We'll ask it, and we'll be right back.
Thrive is what we experience when our mind, body, and soul operate as one. When we thrive, we excel on all levels. Thrive is the mindset that matters. It is essential to our being. Have you ever found yourself looking for the instruction manual on how to thrive? You'll find everything you need to help you feel strong, powerful, and peaceful in your own body. So don't waste any more time. Visit thrivebyjen.com today.
On the cutting edge of the new mainstream, Christine Upchurch is passionate about bringing together science, psychology, and spirituality in a way that can be applied to our everyday lives for true transformation. The Christine Upchurch Show, stellar conversations to illuminate your journey, engages some of the most outstanding visionaries on the planet in lively dialogue to inspire you to become that bright light you're meant to be. Join Christine every Friday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time on KKNW, AM 1150, and Transformation Talk Radio.
Gifted intuitive healer and spiritual teacher Sarah Luce brings her unique style to the hit show Small Steps, Big Breakthrough Radio on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Tune in each month as Sarah turns reality on end and shows us how to experience expansive results with simple yet powerful steps. Expect an enlightening bend on what you currently believe is possible. For show details and upcoming topics, visit SarahLuce.com. That's SarahLuce.com.
Gain powerful insight and practical tools to support you on your spiritual journey. Access your higher self and tune in every second and fourth Thursday at 12 p.m. Pacific to A Life Untethered with Andrew Martin, walking the path of freedom. Andrew is a highly attuned intuitive oracle, energy worker, spiritual teacher, and international radio host. For more about Andrew and his services, visit thelightedones.com.
Are you looking for the perfect setting for your next workshop or retreat? At Spirit Fire Meditative Retreat Center, cultivating consciousness is what we do best. Our guests count on us to create an atmosphere that supports serenity and well-being. We lead from the heart and create space for the mind. Freshly prepared meals designed with local and organic ingredients, 95 acres of beautiful woods and pastures, and a facility built with green in mind. This is what you'll find at Spirit Fire. For more information, visit SpiritFireRetreatCenter.com.
Tune in to the Psychic Professor's Show, The Voices of Spirit Radio, with international medium and spirit artist Dr. Susan Barnes on Transformation Talk Radio. Featuring a variety of spiritual topics such as psychic art, spiritualism, EVP, psychic development, and mediumship. This hit call-in show provides listeners with breakthrough wisdom to enliven and enlighten their lives. Visit spiritartgallery.net for show days and times.
Hello and welcome back. You are listening to A Life Untethered with Andrew Martin, and that's me. I'm Andrew Martin, and my guest today is the wonderful, amazing Christine Upchurch. Christine, before we get back into this topic of the spiritual myths, how to release spiritual myths that bind us, how can people find you? How can people find you on social media, website, all that good stuff?
Okay, well, my website is easy. It's christineupchurch.com, and on that you can catch my latest blogs. You can, you know, listen to the various radio show archives. You can see, you know, how to connect with me for sessions, whether it's coaching sessions or energy sessions. And then on social media, I'm Christine Upchurch, no middle name. My parents never gave me one. and also the Christine Upchurch Show on social media, on Facebook. So Christine Upchurch and the Christine Upchurch Show on Facebook.
Fantastic. And you had said during the break that you were going to start doing some Facebook Live. So which account should they follow you for that?
My personal account, it's funny because it's, you know, I actually had another one, Stellar Reflections, and I'm just getting to feel a little too scattered, you know, so I'm just focusing my posts on my personal page. So Christine Upchurch, and I will be doing Facebook Live. It's something I've had several people tell me I need to do. I love to teach, you know, I'm happy to teach whether it's 15 minutes or 3 days. And so I'm just going to sort of get with the program and join your Facebook Live.
Awesome. So definitely check her out, everybody. So, this last, you know, and it's perfect. Here we are again, perfect question for this last segment about how people can begin to connect with their own spiritual truth and all of that and sort of unload their own myths. So Kenya, had a question for you. She has been vegan for, almost a year. But lately she's been craving foods that she used to enjoy, and she's sort of battling with herself right now because she wants to eat meat and she understands that animals are also spirits. So what does she do?
Yeah, and that is such a tough one. You know, Andrew, I was a vegetarian for 28 years, except during two pregnancies, and I honored my craving. And one was chicken. I had a little bit of chicken once a week. And then my craving, the second one was shrimp. So I had fried shrimp about once a week. And I've always felt this kinship with animals because they are this, you know, they're amazing creatures. They're conscious. They have families. They, you know, and this concept of using animals through factory farming, through killing them, it's always been something that's been near and dear to my heart. That said, over the years, I've also had to honor my own needs. Now, sometimes if you become vegan and you're having cravings for meat, it may mean that there's something out of balance within that, you know, vegan kind of, you know, diet. Mm-hmm. However, it may mean that you need to eat meat. And so it's tough. It's like, okay, so what choice do you make? Do you go to a restaurant and have a little bit of meat? Well, where did that meat come from? What kind of life did that animal live? You can make more conscious choices. But also one of the things that scientists are starting to discover is that plants have a certain consciousness and they also feel pain. Mm. So everything that we are ingesting in some sense relates to, you know, something experiencing pain, which is a tragic aspect of being human.
Yeah.
So really, I think that it isn't a very individual choice. And I think that we have to learn to really look at the energy of what we're ingesting and also honor the wisdom of our body and soul.
Yeah. Beautiful. And I think it's, you know, like you said, doing the best you can if you want to make sure that it's locally sourced, if it was organic, if it's non, you know, whatever it is, to make sure that the animal or the food that you're eating lived the best life it possibly could as being a food source. And then I always, before I eat, I always just say, you know, please bless all those who had a hand in bringing this food to my table and the animals who played a role in creating it. And I really do give my thanks and gratitude because I don't eat meat all the time. I was vegetarian for a long time, and now occasionally I eat it as well because sometimes that's what the body needs.
Right. And, you know, even with dairy, and I'm probably the vegan writing in knows all about this, the dairy industry can be very cruel. And I have some dairy. It's like, you know, I go through stages where I don't have any dairy at all. And yet, when I do have the dairy, there'll be times when I will take a sip of coffee with cream and suddenly it's like, no, I can't have this because there was emotional trauma involved with this. It's like I can feel it. So as we sort of accept that we are spiritual beings and understand that we naturally have spiritual information flowing within us, and it's all, in a sense, is spiritual, but we have this sort of more ethereal information coming to us, we can make wiser choices. And it's not just like, what does it say on the store shelf or what does it say at the restaurant? But as we're touching it, as we're ingesting it, what are we feeling?
Yeah. And I think that that's a beautiful point to sort of support this whole topic today is, you know, isn't spirituality, and I think, you know, for the asking the question of how can we begin to release these spiritual myths individually and collectively, isn't ultimately a spiritual journey just a personal relationship with the divine that you are anyway. So it is about just trusting yourself.
It is. And I think that what can be very helpful for us is to take a little time and make a list of our beliefs, what we think are true, what are our truths about spirituality. Start that way, because so many of the things that we just assume are true are actually just beliefs that can be a little problematic for our development. So what's true about spirituality from your perspective? Like, write down a list and then start to analyze things, you know, one by one, like, okay, is this really true? And one of the things that sort of like the question, the litmus test I offer for people in terms of the, you know, is this a myth or not, is there judgment involved? Not like judgment as in discerning, but being judgmental, either towards ourselves as self-judgment or judgment of others. And if there is, then chances are it's a myth and it's not serving us on our development.
Mm, that's beautiful. So it's kind of like discernment says that's not the right movie for me. Judgment says that's a horrible movie.
Yes, yes. And I can't believe people made that and they spent money and
And discernment says, nope, just not for me.
Mm-hmm, right.
Right.
Or discernment might actually say, well, it's sad that there are people who want to focus on the blood and gore of that movie, you know?
Right.
You can actually have emotions come up with it where you're, instead of being judgmental, you're feeling the pain. Like, okay, just a minute ago, we were talking about the dairy and the meat industry. We can feel great pain associated with that. But we can also take this step back and say, you know, it's not for me, you know, or aspects of it are not for me. And isn't it sad that this is the way it is? And yet have some sort of trust that things will unfold as they are meant to unfold.
Right. And I will do the best I can to honor what I know is true for me. So for me, that means not eating this or only eating that or whatever it is. Because I always say is only you know what truth feels like.
Absolutely.
So trust it.
Yes.
Beautiful. So we have just a couple of minutes left, and maybe this is a huge question for, you know, 2 minutes, but, you know, I love what you've shared today. It's so beautiful, and I really do thank you for being with me today. But it sounds to me, you know, what are some of the spiritual myths in your own experience? What have you been able to unravel for yourself through your journey and through the work with people? If there's just one thing that you can share that maybe someone can connect to, what is something that has really allowed, sort of freed you?
Well, it's funny because, you know, I've had so many experiences over the years where I've had to do some deep spiritual work and grow and, you know, facing cancer when doctors didn't have anything to offer me and healing myself, choosing to leave, you know, the scientific realm, working as a statistician and moving into healing, you know, leaving certain situations, marriage, you know, a working situation where it was toxic. There are several things along the way. And really, I've come to realize that as freedom-seeking beings, what we're really wanting to do is to step into our authenticity, our soul speaking through our lives. And that means releasing all sorts of things. It can mean releasing relationships. It can mean releasing, you know, ways of life. But it also means releasing our perspective. And so for me, it's been the self-judgment that has come from external, you know, beliefs. It's come from external judgment. It's come from a lot of internal programming of how I'm meant to live my life and who I'm meant to be. And really, I think that our spiritual wisdom comes in letting go of all those things that don't serve us, that aren't true to us, that allows us to show up more fully as a whole being, you know, spiritual, whole human being in this life on this planet.
Mm, I love that. Absolutely. Amen. Beautiful. Thank you so much, Christine. This has been lovely. Thank you so much for being
thank
here.
You, Andrew. And I look forward to talking to you tomorrow on my show.
Yeah, everybody who's listening, I'll be on Christine Upchurch show tomorrow as a guest. So you can go back to transformationtalkradio.com and listen to us there. You can find me at thelightedones.com. Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube are all The Lighted Ones. Thank you so much for tuning in today and listening. And I will see you in 2 weeks. I'm the second and fourth Thursday of every month. Thanks again for listening to A Life Untethered with Andrew Martin. Have a great day.
You've been listening to A Life Untethered with Andrew Martin. Walking the path of freedom. Continue on your path by visiting Andrew's site at thelightedones.com. There, you'll find tools and services to support you on your journey of expansion and evolution. If you missed any part of this show, while you were there, you can also download the podcast. Tune in live every second and fourth Thursday at 12 p.m. Pacific for A Life Untethered with Andrew Martin.